As a listener to the Beef Watch podcast, we would really appreciate your feedback on the content we provide. By going to go.unl.edu/podcast and completing a 5-question survey, you will help us know what has been beneficial to you and also what you would like to listen to more of. Again, that's go.unl.edu/podcast, or you can also go to the beef.unl.edu website and you'll find the survey there. Thanks for being a listener to the Beef Watch podcast. We really look forward to getting your feedback. Welcome to the Beef Watch podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch podcast, we're going to discuss an article from the November issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled, Beyond the Abstract, Does Bale Grazing Make Sense? To have a conversation about this, I'm joined today by Brock Ortner, who's a Nebraska Extension Livestock System Educator based in Sheridan County. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me on, Aaron.
Well, Brock, I thought this article really was timely as we get ready for the winter season here. We haven't had much winter across much of the High Plains recently, but it will be coming. And one of the things you focus on in this article is looking at the option of bale grazing as a way to reduce harvested feed expense and then also to get some benefit from the nutrients that we have in hay. Lay out for us a little bit of the background of why we might consider bale grazing.
Yeah, Aaron. So one thing that we were just talking about before coming on air is that this is a practice that's not really widely accepted in Nebraska, but it's been fairly common in the Northern Great Plains, far Northern Great Plains up in Canada for several decades now. This topic, I think, will kind of challenge some paradigms as far as feeding waste. When we talk about bale grazing, we don't necessarily like to consider it waste in the traditional sense. But where this kind of arises is that there's that fact that almost 2/3 of annual cow costs are in the form of feeds, whether that be pasture rent, stored feedstuffs, et cetera. But what people don't often consider is the expense of feeding the cow. So there's feeds and then there's feeding. And where bale grazing can really be a benefit, I think, is targeting that feeding side of the equation. Because while we do have these stored forages, if we feed them to cows in a confinement scenario, there's that benefit of reducing waste, especially if we grind our hay or our stocks, whatever roughages that we're going to be feeding these cows. But at the same time, there's going to be a yardage cost. There's going to be some labor associated with starting up that equipment every day and feeding the cows, the depreciation expense on equipment, the cost of purchasing that equipment, not to mention the facilities, et cetera, that all get wrapped up in confinement scenario for our cows. So this bale grazing, in effect, is a way that we can utilize some land that might be underproducing and feed these roughages on underproducing land, capture the nutrients that would most often be called waste, but have that return to the soil and hopefully add some yield the following year on that land, whether it be grazed or hayed.
So let's talk about, where does this have applications? We think about a land resource. Do we use this on hay ground? Do we use this on pasture ground? Are there some things we should be aware of in terms of the soil type, plant species, composition that lends itself to bale grazing and those that maybe we should avoid?
This article is written on a report coming out of NDSU, written by Sedevich and others in 2018. So if you want to go back and find that article, feel free. It's a really well-written article. And what I like about this is that it really concisely summarizes the research that they did. But not only that, they examined the effects of bale grazing on 4 different ranches with very different soil types. So as far as locations where we might consider bale grazing, just realize that this practice is not for all pastures or hay grounds. I think it has a place in some very targeted applications. With that being said, I think some of our improved pastures are a good option, as well as hay fields that have been established for several years. When I think of bale grazing on some of our native range and some newly established pastures, I think there's a little bit of risk at play when we bring in some baled forages, especially from off the ranch, not knowing what kind of seeds are present as far as noxious weeds, invasive plants that we don't want to inadvertently put on our already potentially stressed pastures or newly established hay ground, just to keep those really vigorous. You know, I think this is a practice where we could deposit some nutrients on some of our improved pastures and hay grounds. And besides that, when it comes to depositing these nutrients, when we compare bale grazing to a practice such as swath grazing would be a little bit more uniform in terms of depositing the manure and urine throughout that field. When we think of bale grazing, it's going to be more concentrated towards the bale centers, which is one thing that the authors of this article noticed. They followed the area that this practice was observed in for 18 months after. And in this paper, it certainly looked like that 18-month time period was a year of lower precipitation. But in this, they saw higher soil nitrate, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And on some of our native pastures, we probably don't want that really hot spot of nutrient deposition located in some concentrated points throughout the pasture. That's where I think we can maybe mimic the effects of synthetic fertilizers on areas that we would consider for synthetic fertilizer and help offset those input costs.
Brock, as we think about just the logistics of bale grazing, there's obviously, as you well said, quite a bit of nutrients in hay, and that's going to vary with the quality of the hay and what we're putting out there. But maybe give some perspective on how do we lay this out? What might we do to set up a bale grazing scenario if we were doing that on some improved pasture or some hay ground that can respond to those nutrients?
Yeah, based on my review
of the literature and some of the findings from this article in particular, it certainly seems that that 40 feet spacing of these bales from the bale center is a good way to manage the concentration of the nutrients that the cows will deposit. And just as a rule of thumb, the closer you space these bales, the more concentrated the nutrients would be. And the further away, the less concentrated. So I think this comes down to a question of how much fertilizer, so to say, would you want to deposit? And I think that 40 foot is probably a good conservative number, especially for someone getting started out with this practice. Going into the feeding considerations, in order to, I know we talked about waste in a non-traditional sense, but we still want to make sure that these cows will utilize baled forages effectively. So this might be a place where we could utilize some cross-fencing and allocate the amount of feed that we want to feed for that week or a couple days, similar to what we might do with strip grazing. So that's something to consider. While there will be a little bit of labor associated with moving fence with every allocation, just think of how that compares to feeding cows in a confinement scenario every day. I think there's a really clear advantage when it comes to labor savings here.
One of the other things I think that is attractive about this is the need to be able to do this with temporary electric fence and set this up where you don't need to start a tractor and a bale processor or a feed wagon every day. And while we aren't as cold as our neighbors to the far north, we still can have some pretty bitter cold temperatures. And the fact is, starting and running a tractor and equipment is not inexpensive. And so finding ways to reduce some of these equipment costs are another significant savings.
So a little bit further on that feeding aspect that we had mentioned, we talked about feed allocation, but you know, the nutrient content of our forages that we're feeding, that's going to be important whether we're in confinement or we're bale grazing in terms of meeting that cow's nutrient requirements. So just because we are going to have some more waste here and we're not necessarily as concerned with our efficiency of utilizing them because we are going to keep those nutrients in the system, we do want to make sure that we test these forages for TDN, crude protein. All of the, you know, the conventional things that we need to know for balancing a cow's diet, because when we use some poor quality forages, this might be a good place to use them. But at the same time, those poor quality forages may not meet the cow's requirements. So some supplementation might be a good practice for this feeding strategy here.
Brock, what else would you encourage producers to think through or consider, evaluate as they think about this as an option?
Yeah, just some general considerations that come to my mind, at least, are, you know, put your pencil to the paper. I think there has to be some price sensitivity worked into this practice, keeping in mind the value of that baled forage. Is it high enough quality and high enough value that maybe we don't necessarily want to deposit those nutrients on our land and utilize those at higher efficiency? So if we could sell these forages off our property and bring in some maybe lower quality when the cows have lower requirements. And also, what would it cost to purchase synthetic fertilizers to put on this ground as opposed to bale grazing? So have that thought process in your mind as you work through this. I don't know that this is a practice for someone that is producing a lot of very high quality forages, because someone else is probably willing to pay for those, and they might not be the best fit for this scenario. Additionally, we've mentioned it a few times, but this idea of labor savings, I think, is a really critical part of this grazing practice. Consider, what does your time cost? You know, as we think of bale grazing, if we can allocate feed for a week with just one move of the wire versus starting up equipment, spending, you know, anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour feeding these cows in confinement, assign a value to that because your time is very important. And additionally, just one last thought is really clearly have in mind if you're a good candidate from this as far as what kind of land resources you're managing. If you are in an extensive grazing scenario on native range, maybe this isn't for you and we need to focus on that native range part of our enterprise rather than thinking about unrolling bales that could be a potential issue for us as far as bringing in some unpreferred plant species. So clearly identify where, not only if you're the right kind of producer for this, but if you have the land that could benefit from this practice.
Yeah, I think those are great points, Brock. I think a couple of other things is just think about your winter water situation. Obviously, we got cattle out. We need to have a good water supply and one that can handle cold temperatures and so the logistics of that. And then I think also, as you've said a number of times, but when we bring in hay or we're taining hay, we have all these nutrients, but we also have the organic matter that's there. And I think as we continue to learn and understand better the value of organic matter in terms of what that provides for us on the soil, maybe being able to do some bale grazing on some sites within a hay field or a pasture where additional organic matter is needed to begin to help build the soil. There's some benefits beyond just the fertilizer replacement that you get when you provide bale grazing nutrients. There's some organic matter there as well. So I think that's something we haven't talked about, but and a little bit hard to quantify, but I think a value that we need to recognize as well. Brock, thanks for joining me today. Anything else you'd like to highlight as we wrap up?
I think that just
about sums it up well for a lot of people that are kind of struggling with the labor part of this business, since it seems to be in such short supply and the cost of adding additional labor units to an operation, they're hard to justify. So ways that we can make these cattle do the work for us and moving around these nutrients throughout an operation may not be feasible, but allowing the four-legged tractor to do it for us might be advantageous in a lot of scenarios.
Well, for more information on the article that we talked about in today's Beef Watch podcast, you can find it at beef.unl.edu. The title of the article, Beyond the Abstract, Does Bale Grazing Make Sense?